There are many times in Scripture that we hear eternal advice. This morning, as we look to the words of the Old Testament book of Proverbs, we hear advice about the way we should live as we navigate this journey we call life. Proverbs 16:1-9 reads, "We humans make plans, but the Lord has the final word. We may think we know what is right, but the Lord is the judge of our motives. Share your plans with the Lord, and you will succeed." The Lord has a reason for everything he does, and he lets evil people live only to be punished. The Lord doesn't like anyone who is conceited. You can be sure they will be punished. If we truly love God, our sins will be forgiven. If we show him respect, we will keep away from sin. When we please the Lord, even our enemies make friends with us. It is better to be honest and poor than to be dishonest and rich. We make our plans, but the Lord decides where we will go. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we ask you to open our minds and our hearts to hear your words today. We ask that you help us on this journey we call life. And we ask you that you inspire us to be the people that you've called us to be. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember the good old days when life seemed normal? When Zoom was a word you read in a children's book which mimicked the sound of a car speeding down the road? Or when distance learning was the day that you forgot your eyeglasses at home and your desk was in the back row of the classroom so you couldn't see the board? This academic year has been as far from normal as anyone could imagine. No prom, no high school musical, no spring sports, possibly no graduation ceremony. In many ways, it seems like life hasn't been fair. The year one graduates is supposed to be normal, like all the friends and family members who have graduated before us. You are supposed to experience all the rites of passage that someone graduating gets to experience. You were supposed to experience with joy the end of high school and be able to linger in the transition from high school to either entering the work world or going off to college. And while these transitions are still happening, it almost feels like you've been cheated. It feels like the way things are supposed to be just are not, COVID class of 2020. Maybe you have people in your life who are trying to pacify you or encourage you in thinking that things will all get better. And while they mean well and their intentions are good, and they want to comfort you for a while, I'm here to tell you that it's okay to be sad and maybe even mad. It's okay to grieve the opportunities that you've experienced that should have come unconditionally as part of your life's journey, but just did not happen. There were forces working outside of your control, outside of anyone's control, and unfortunately, you all got the short end of the stick. The worst part is that even as we begin to see the world reopening, there is much uncertainty as to what surrounds us still. As we try to make plans for the future, there's uncertainty on being able to find a job or whether colleges and universities will have online or in-person classes in the fall. There's uncertainty as to whether COVID-19 virus will spike again and require more delays and closings. And in some ways, it's truly unfortunate that you have to learn such a hard lesson at such a young age. But maybe it's not unfortunate after all. Maybe this pandemic hitting smack dab in the middle of the year you graduate has taught you some lessons. Maybe instead of just focusing on the fact that life isn't always fair and that the plans we make don't always come to pass, you've had the opportunity to formulate a new set of priorities. Many of the people I've spoken to during this unusual time tell me that they have reset their priorities and have vowed certain things. They've vowed to slow down, to accumulate less stuff, to make sure that they put their time and energy into things they hold most valuable. They want health and vitality to be the standards by which they live in their post-COVID life. I myself have found that the months spent in isolation have helped me to realign my priorities. I've moved from allowing myself to be tossed to and fro by what society deems important to a place where I have can hold tight to the things that have lasting significance, both in my personal and spiritual lives. So this morning, if you will indulge me, I want to take a few minutes to talk about some of the lessons learned during this time of isolation and social distancing. Some things that I believe will help all of us look at our lives from God's eternal perspective. And some of these lessons stem from my own experience, but yet some others are from people's experiences who have shared them with me. So here we go. Lesson one, life isn't fair. Wow, that seems a bit pessimistic, doesn't it? But unfortunately, it's true. In Scripture, we hear that God makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust. In essence, this means that all people have times of blessing and times of difficulty. Because we live in a fallen world, life here on earth is never ideal. We can make plans and even work those plans, but obstacles and detours often derail them. Some obstacles are small in scope, like not getting the summer job we wanted, while others are huge, like a pandemic that shuts down the whole world. But either way, it's a reminder that we can't expect everything to go smoothly. We can't expect all our plans to work out according to the script we've written. And that is why we need to include God in our plans. Not solely because there is a great value in seeking God's will for our life, but more so, in seeking God's wisdom, we order our life correctly. When we are connected to God, we are more adept at riding the waves of change that inevitably will come to us in this life. When life seems unfair, some people fall into the trap of taking on a victim mentality. And if there was any time in recent history when this might be understandable, it's now as we deal with a pandemic and its aftermath. But Scripture says that we are not victims. Rather, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. When we live in the illusion that we are victims of our circumstances, we lose out on the learning that comes from going through the hard times on this journey we call life. Some of the greatest lessons we can learn come from the hard times, when we have to work harder to overcome. I believe that in my own life, I've learned more from my mistakes and from having to overcome obstacles than I had learned from going through the good times. I've learned to give the obstacles credit, that they have either come into my life to prevent me from doing something I should not have done, or as a way of teaching me a lesson I need to know. And while the obstacles and the difficulties are quite often accompanied by fear, I've learned that that fear makes me rely more fully on God. I've learned that instead of denying those fears, I declare them and say the fear out loud to God in prayer. This takes away the power that the fear has over me. I don't get paralyzed by the concerns, but instead see the obstacles as they are and work with God to find the courage to overcome them. In doing this, I often find that the hurdle is not really so insurmountable after all. And when looking at the difficulties through God's eyes, I can be brave and have courage, and realize that I'm stronger than I think. Including God in our difficulties and allowing him to help us overcome make us more aware of ourselves and our capabilities. So we should never just sit in self-pity, believing that we are victims of our circumstances. Instead, we should face the adversity that befalls us in this life as a way to grow stronger and as a reason to cling tighter to God. Lesson two. Don't live within the limits that are set for you by others or even by yourself. When we live limited by our circumstances or by the expectations of other people, it becomes hard to live authentically. The world often tells us what we can't do, and what we will never become. But God tells us that we are more than conquerors and can do incredible works when we are operating within the will of God. I'm not saying that we don't have limitations. I know that even though I would love to sing on Broadway, I'm limited by my lack of power in my singing voice. But that limitation doesn't stop me from singing altogether, since it's something I enjoy doing. Our limitations should never hold us back from achieving that which God has placed before us. When we put a limit or a cap on top of things because we fear we are not good enough, or allow the fear put upon us by others to be at work in our decisions, we don't live authentically. Don't limit yourself. A roof is a man-made thing, not built by God. With God, the sky is the limit. Likewise, don't get so focused on the end goal, the achievement, that you forget to enjoy the journey. That has been the biggest takeaway from this recent pandemic told to me by many people who I've spoken to. In the past, many people bought into the mindset of needing to achieve at all costs. They focused their time and energy so intentionally on their work that they forgot to slow down and enjoy the journey. But the pandemic has shown them that their concentrating on achievement is limiting. I've heard over and over again many people who've made the commitment to themselves and to their families and even to God to set a healthy pace for their life that leaves time for personal and spiritual fulfillment. They are no longer being limited by society's expectation to achieve. They are committing to defining success for themselves. So take a cue from their playbook. We should continue to ask ourselves the question, what does success look like to me? Make a list of your priorities and check in with them so every so often to make sure you are working towards the positives in your life. Recalibrate your daily routine to keep all you do in healthy shape while you strive to maintain the priorities you set. Remember that if you don't work on creating health in your priorities, then you will wither and eventually die. Define healthy success for your life and then do the work it takes to achieve it. Keep the things that are important to you in good shape. Another helpful learning coming out of COVID-19 pandemic is lesson 3. There is a big difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is always result related. When the results don't turn out how we would like them, we are unhappy. And when they turn out the way that we hoped they would or better than we hoped, we are happy. But in our human nature, we tend to raise the standard for happiness each and every time. It's like running on a constant hamster wheel where we seek to achieve and accumulate more and more. And as we work hard to do this, we only find ourselves less satisfied and more stressed. If happiness is what you're after, you're going to be let down frequently. You will end up unhappy most of the time. But joy is different. It's not a response to some result. Joy is the feeling that we have when we live authentically, when we are in our sweet spot, when we are doing what God created us to do. Enjoyment comes when we stop making our daily labor a means to a certain end and actually enjoy the journey. Joy is always a process. It's always under construction. It is found in the doing of what we are fashioned to do and enjoying it. And part of this authentic, joy-filled living is functioning as a co-creator with God. If you allow God's will to operate in your life and in and through you, then together you and God are co-creators of the book of your life. We need to let go of our tendency to micromanage and plan the future and instead allow God to guide and direct our steps. But how often do we put ourselves in a position to see the world from God's perspective? We usually aren't in the right place to receive that truth. We live in this extremely noisy world with all kinds of things coming at us, and we have commitments and deadlines, plans and expectations. So it is all the more necessary to put ourselves in a place where we can hear from God so as to get clarity and peace of mind. For me, I get this clarity, this hearing from God through some spiritual formation practices. I pray, I meditate, I walk in nature, usually with my dogs, and I like being in the company of people who can encourage and inspire me. I read scripture and other motivational materials. Whatever it is that helps you hear from God, make sure you schedule time for that each day. When we take time with God, we get out of our intellect, and God's truth permeates our bones and sinks deep into our souls. This takes time, and we can't rush it, but it is the most important thing we can do. And once we find this truth that we seek, then we have to have the courage to practice the truth on a daily basis, to make it active as part of who we are and how we live. Lesson 4, be grateful. We are forever told by society how to measure success. We obsess about success, seek it at all costs, and even end up disillusioned. With this pressure to succeed, we often focus on what is wrong rather than what is right in our lives. When in actuality, the easiest way to elevate success is through gratitude. We should be giving thanks for what we do have, for what is working, appreciating the simple things we sometimes take for granted. And if we give thanks to God for the blessing, that gratitude reciprocates, creating more to be thankful for. It's simple and it works. So make sure that when you are tempted to be focusing on the negative, you realign your thoughts to the positive and count your blessings. And lastly, lesson 5. On this Baccalaureate Sunday, if you hear nothing else of what I've said, please hear this. Life is a verb, a journey that we will be on until we take our last breath. And while there are obstacles in our lives, we get to be the architects of our own lives. Even through those obstacles and detours, we can stand in our own ways. But when we allow God into our journey, these challenges hold no sway. They merely serve as a means by which we grow stronger. Don't let the unexpected or unexplained difficulties in your life cause you to doubt or fear, but rather give them to God, and He will be your strength and your shield. My wish for you, our graduates, and for all of us today are these. While you are here on this earth, let's allow God to guide and direct our steps. Let's work hard and break a sweat. Let's enjoy the journey of life and travel in the places we are supposed to be. And as we travel towards an eternal finish line, let us be co-creators, co-authors with God as we write together the story of our lives. Make sure you have plans for the future, but always seek God's wisdom and will for your life. And make sure your plans are motivated by the things of God, such as compassion and justice and love, and not by the pressures that society puts on you. And remember that if your motivations are pure, then the joy that comes in the doing is better than the joy that comes in the succeeding. With God, there is joy in the journey. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we ask your blessings on all of us today, but especially on our graduates. We ask you to open up our hearts and our minds to your will and your wisdom. Help us to not look to society to set our priorities, but help us to look to godly wisdom, to your word, so that we can do things in your power rather than through our own. And when the obstacles come our way, we can overcome them, not with fear and anxiety, but with your guidance and direction. We thank you for your blessings today and always. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.